From our tower to your radio, this is Immaculate Heart Radio, KWG Stockton. Saint Joseph, spouse of the Mother of God, pray for us.
Live from Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful Thursday. It's chilly Thursday here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Depending on where you are, it's chilly everywhere, chillier in the mountains. We are the Bishop's Hour. We come to you every Monday through Friday from 11 to noon. We repeat in the evenings from 9 to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday on these Immaculate Heart radio stations. Appreciate you being with us, and a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk to Jennifer Neal shortly, a famed actress, lots and lots and lots of acting credits to her on her resume, but she is now part of the Silent No More campaign, and she will be one of the speakers at the Walk for Life in San Francisco coming up just around the corner now, January the 26th, Saturday, January 26th, all taking place at the Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco. And we'll talk with Jennifer shortly, and also a big confirmation conference coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, the confirmation conference fired up. And we'll be talking to Kevin Staskow from the who's the director of evangelization and catechesis here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We're putting out the word, you know, as we've told you, our good friend David Coit, who really coordinated all the buses for us for going to the Walk for Life in San Francisco. Gabe, we're putting out the word, whoever would, if you have room on your bus, give us a call, and we'll get, you can leave us a message if there's nobody here, but call us or email us at radio@diocese-sacramento.org and let us know where your bus is, what time it's going to leave, and if you have seats available, and contact number for that, and we'll get that information out to people, because some people are still looking for buses. Or you can give us a call, 916-733-0107, 916-733-0107. Well, speaking of the Walk for Life, it will take place January 26th, Saturday, in San Francisco, and one of the features there will be the Silent No More campaign, and one of the spokespeople for that campaign is actress Jennifer O'Neill. She joins us now from Nashville. Jennifer, a pleasure and an honor to have you here on the Bishop's Hour.
Thank you so much, Bob. Nice to be here.
You know, you probably don't remember this, but about, 25 years ago, maybe, in the small town of Davis, California, you came and you spoke to a pro-life group at the Baptist Church, and I had the pleasure of introducing you.
Oh my!
First time I ever.
Well, it's nice to see you again over the radio.
Yes, it was the first time I ever spoke in a Baptist church, and I think the last time. But it was a great event, and you gave us some real powerful witness that day. Tell us what you're doing now. I think most of our listeners know about your many credits, especially I remember Summer of 42 and all of your acting credits. Tell us what you're doing now.
Well, I do still act on occasion. I have a couple of pictures out, actually both in support of the life issue, a film called Doonby, and then one in support of not taking Christ out of Christmas, called Last Ounce of Courage. So I do films on occasion. I write a lot of books, anywhere from my autobiography to fiction, but I get to express my feelings through characters, which is wonderful, and I just wrote a screenplay called Hill and Glade, which is where I live, the street I live on, and it's a fiction about what really goes on here at Hill and Glade. We have programs for our veterans, with the horses and families, and so I'm excited. We should be shooting that film this year, so I'll be back in the saddle, so to speak, acting, and I'm also directing it.
Very good. So you're doing work with horses in terms of therapy?
Well, it's equine-assisted therapy. Mm-hmm. It's not for handicapped, physically handicapped, but it's for We are doing it now. We have shaped the program to serve our military families.
Mm-hmm.
We have three phases of it. So we have a day in the country for the families who have served us. And then we have programs for moms and daughters with the horses. And it's not so much riding lessons as it is teaching responsibility and teamwork mm-hmm. and communication, et cetera. But I would say the most important thing I'm blessed to do is stand up for life in Jesus' name.
Tell us how you got involved in the pro-life movement.
Well, I have always said experience overrides theory, and unfortunately I suffered an abortion in the 70s, well before I came to my faith. And so having been there and not making light of it, but been there, done that, and didn't get a T-shirt for it, I know the devastation of abortion firsthand, not only for the child, but for the mother and for the families. And so when I, years ago, wrote my autobiography, appropriately titled Surviving Myself, I had to honestly address that issue. And it was the hardest, although I had received grace, 26 years ago I came to my faith, abortion was still stuck in my craw. I could not seem to accept the grace of God on that issue, which over the years I came to realize was really pride on my part, that I was feeling that I allowed that heinous act in my life, and it was bigger than what Jesus did on the cross. So I became encouraged as I began to receive that grace and that healing to just go ahead and step out and be bold and honest about the issue, because I think so many women are, and families and people are, suffering in the aftermath of abortion. So, of course, the baby is the cornerstone of our concern, and yet it says in the Word of God that God has all of our children, even those who are aborted, and there's reconciliation in heaven, and we need to receive the grace that He offers us so that we can become billboards for the truth, healed after that issue, and tell the truth to others so they can either avoid abortion or heal from the ones they have had.
As you came forward with this, were there concerns that this could this wasn't the politically correct thing to do for your acting career?
Oh my gosh! Well, when I received Jesus into my heart, it was, as far as Hollywood went, I was blackballed, because I was always very verbal about it. And everyone can receive that grace and handle it in whatever way, but I wanted to stand on top of the treetops and,
right.
and tell everyone about that. And that, no, that did not serve me well. It's a little bit different now, but 25 years later, there's a little bit more acceptance. But I think it's clear that there's a very powerful stronghold over Hollywood, because media is so powerful. That's where the enemy does a lot of work in terms of not receiving the truth.
So how did you come upon your faith? In a thunderstorm? Were you struck by a bolt of lightning? Or?
I always say I did not have a Damascus Road experience. I came to my faith at actually a very happy time in my life. I was carrying my third child. Due to the abortion, I had suffered 9 miscarriages along the way, so I was thrilled. I was pregnant, and I had a friend. I always believed in God, always knew that there was something larger than I, obviously, and searched for that. I studied Eastern philosophy and different avenues, and I had a friend at that time talk to me about Jesus. I did not have a clue who Jesus Christ was, and the truth of who He was. And so I started to read the Bible during my pregnancy. And I the best way I can describe it, Bob, was like a slow motion Clairol ad, because there was a lot of warfare, as there is over every single person coming to that decision for Christ. Didn't snap to right away. It took a while, but when my son was born, we dedicated him, and then I was baptized. So it was just receiving that knowledge, and I began to read, unfortunately, in the Old Testament, which made it a little harder for me to receive the truth. I would always say to somebody to start in the New Testament or John, to hear that truth first. So it took a while, but there I was after all that time.
You know, you were born in Brazil, the most Catholic country in the world. And
yes.
That great Irish last name, I'd have thought you were steeped in the Catholic faith as a child.
Well, wouldn't you think? No. My parents took us to an Episcopal church mm-hmm. one or two times, my brother and me. And they're not believers, so they just did that by rote, and uh-huh. we didn't go as a family, so I didn't learn anything about it. It was just not part of the fabric of my family.
How did you get connected with Silent No More?
Well, I actually got involved with them the first year they started to organize, which was a real blessing, and it was just after my book came out, so I'm not sure exactly how we found each other, but it was a good fit from the beginning. I love the organization. It's growing, and to include also men, of course, as well, who are going to be silent no more about the abortion issue.
We're 40 years into Roe v. Wade now, and it doesn't appear, at least from a legal standpoint, that it's going to be overturned anytime soon. We can remain hopeful.
Right.
But it doesn't prevent us from doing a lot of one-on-one work and a lot of advocacy
Absolutely.
Work that we can continue to save lives. What do you hope people, you know, when you've had, when you've encountered people that have had a change of heart on this issue, and they're hard to find sometimes, mm-hmm. what is it that changed their mind, or what is it that what seed got planted that helped them come over to the pro-life side to see the light?
Well, Bob, it's interesting that you asked that question. Number one, it's Silent No More, which is a non-denominational, non-political organization. We're not resting on any laurels in terms of the legality. We want to get the truth out there to make abortion unthinkable, and. In my situation, my parents, for example, were always pro-choice. That's mm-hmm. just how they thought. It's a woman's body. She has the right to do whatever. And I had a method to my madness at one point, and I did a whole video healing program. And my dad spoke five languages, and it was a program called Life After Abortion. And I asked my dad and mom to translate it into Spanish, because I thought it would be well used in that language. So despite themselves, I got them a dictionary and for the language, for the Bible verses, et cetera, and in translating it for me, they had to read the Bible. I mean, not the whole Bible, but the verses that deal with healing and mm-hmm. what God's opinion is about life and the sanctity of life, et cetera. And then I had a film that went along with it. So they had to see an ultrasound of the mm-hmm. baby. Mm-hmm. They could see the humanity of the child being carried at very early stages. And by the time they finished all of this, I went into their apartment. And my dad, who was a war hero and very staunch kind of guy, stood up and said, well, we've finished the translation, and then tears started to stream down his face. And mind you, they were in their 80s at this point, so it's never too late. And it's tears streaming down because I had gone to them for their counsel before I had the abortion, and they supported the abortion. And Dad said, after looking at all of this, your mother and I are now pro-life. And then the tears really started, and he said,
wow.
And we're so sorry we didn't know all of this when you came for our help.
Wow.
So it's never too late. The people who are listening, it doesn't matter about age. I believe that if you just tell the truth, and with the advent of ultrasound, et cetera, we can see, as I said, the humanity of the baby. It's not a blob of tissue or a cluster of cells. We were all a fetus, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so we have tools and ways of showing the truth that perhaps we didn't used to. So we just have to be bold and gracious about it, and not be critical of those who have had abortions, but but supportive. That's the most important thing. It's not to shame, it's to expose the truth and bring it into the light.
Yeah, I don't know how you could have anything but compassion for someone who has agonized over this, and I do believe not too many people take it lightly, agonized over it and reached the conclusion because of whatever situation they were in that they were going to take the life of their own child. I don't know how you could have, obviously you can't condone it, but you can certainly have great compassion for a person in that situation.
You know, 80% of those who have, and this was my case, it's not an excuse, but are coerced into having the abortion for a myriad of reasons. Pressure at home, parents saying, I'm not going to support this. Guys not being supportive. Then again, there's the other side of the story where men lose their children by a decision of the mother without having any say to it. But there's a lot of pressure that comes to bear financially, emotionally, socially, et cetera. I did not want to have the abortion, and my fiancé just insisted and insisted and insisted. And my doctor even said in way back when it was legal, first of all, and secondly, he told me, this medical doctor, that it was just a cluster of cells, that I could always have another baby at the right time. And it's not an excuse, because immediately I was horrified with myself. We're not designed to kill our own children. It's not how we're designed.
No.
And so the aftermath of abortion is just hideous, not only emotionally but physically. And these are statistics that can be stated, because approximately 45% of women who have reached the age of 50 have had an abortion, whether they're churched or not churched.
Mm-hmm.
So it's safe to say that one can look around a room, and usually, especially when I'm speaking for pregnancy centers and raising funds, et cetera, I know I'm not the only one there who's had an abortion. And so there is hope and healing and wholeness, even after abortion, in Christ. That's why all these centers are Christ-based, because how can anyone even get their arms around the concept of killing our own children? So we go into denial and lack of information and not face the issue, but then the shame and guilt robs your lives over and over again.
On abortion, you have written, "I was told a lie from the pit of hell that my baby was just a blob of tissue. The aftermath of abortion can be equally deadly for both mother and unborn child. A woman who has an abortion is sentenced to bear that for the rest of her life." There's only about 40 words there, but boy, those are powerful.
Yes, it's true, but the truth can set you and will set you free. And so I think, especially as a time such as this, where, and I don't want to go on a political rant here, but our government is supporting abortion, and we have a voice, and we need to be silent no more, and we need to get the truth out of there, number one, to educate, and also to present God's healing in this issue, but be loud and clear to the government as well, that this is unspeakable.
Absolutely. Well, Jennifer, it's a pleasure and honor to have you on the program, and we thank you and commend you for all your great pro-life work and your witness to Christ as well. And we will look forward to seeing you in San Francisco in a couple of weeks.
I can't wait, Bob. Looking forward to it.
God
bless. I hope everyone shows up.
Oh, they will. We'll have a big crowd there.
Excellent.
Thanks so much,
Jennifer.
Thank
you so much. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you too. That's Jennifer O'Neill, an actress with many, many, many movies to her credit, and has lived a long and interesting life, and is dedicating it now to the pro-life cause, and working very, very hard. As she says, this is something, this legacy of her abortion will remain with her for the rest of her life, but she's doing what she can to help others who have been in that situation, as being a national spokesperson for Silent No More. Georgette Forney's organization. We'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour on this Thursday, the 10th of January. Knights of Columbus Insurance, keeping Father McGivney's promise alive by providing peace of mind to Catholic families since 1882. You can find an agent in your area by calling Todd Cabral. Todd is at 916-997-9999, or you can visit cabralagency.com. That's C-A-B-R-A-L, cabralagency.com. Knights of Columbus Insurance, your shield for life. Well, you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. Your support funds life-changing ministries such as Mercy Housing California that offers affordable, low-income housing to people in need at multifamily, senior, and special needs properties. 100% of your contribution supports the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. You can give them a call. They're at 916-851-2700. Or visit supportmercyfoundation.org. Well, serving our Catholic community as a charitable organization founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services provides dignified and sacred end-of-life services. Give them a call. They are a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. They're at 916-431-2234. Bishop's Hour is pleased to welcome the fine underwriting support of Myers Investment Group of Robert W. Baird & Company, specializing in managing investment portfolios for well-established individuals and businesses. You can stop in and talk to their three experienced advisors, Ken Myers, Matt Enright, and Rick Hansen, who have a combined 50 years of experience in the industry. Give them a call, 530-271-3000, or online at secondopinioncalifornia.com. Our saint of the day from the American Saints, Blesseds, and Venerables being honored by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops during this year of faith, St. Isaac Jogues was born in 1607, ordained a Jesuit priest in 1636. During the year following his ordination, Isaac saw the fulfillment of his dearest wish to be a missionary to the Indians in New France. His first several years of missionary work among the Indians were quiet enough, but in 1641, he and a group of fellow missionaries traveled to Iroquois country. There, the missionaries were whipped, bitten, and tormented in the most barbarous ways imaginable. St. Isaac Jogues became a living martyr, watching his friends die around him and being constantly threatened by death himself. After a year of this torment, in which Isaac was able to evangelize and baptize a few of the Iroquois, a chance for escape presented itself. He boarded a Dutch ship and went back to France. This only lasted a few months, however, as his heart still longed to bring the word of God to the Iroquois. This return mission was to be his last. Isaac foresaw this when he wrote to a fellow Jesuit, saying, "My heart tells me that if I am the one to be sent on this mission, I shall go, but it shall not return. But I would be happy if our Lord wished to complete the sacrifice where he began it." He was killed in 1646 and canonized a saint in 1930 by Pope Pius XI. He is the patron saint of the Americas and Canada. St. Isaac Jogues, our saint of the day.
This is Bishop Jaime Soto, and this is the Bishop Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back on this beautiful Thursday, the 10th of January, a beautiful day the Lord has made. It's freezing out, but it's warm and cozy here at the Bishop's Hour. And we're pleased to welcome in Carla Marquez, the coordinator of Young Adult Ministry here at the Diocese of Sacramento.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me again.
You can take your phone off and again. And stay a while.
Are
you heading outside?
I'm warm right now. I'm leaving until it's, a little bit better. It was really chilly this morning. Having to take off the frost off the car and all that stuff.
Oh, I know. It takes. My hands are still cold because I scraped the ice with my knuckles.
I'll leave the coat on. It's okay.
I hate that. You've got 5 minutes to get to work, and you go out, and your car is just, the ice is just everywhere.
Right, right. And my water bottle didn't have enough water in it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always afraid I'm going to crack the windshield by pouring warm water on it.
But, yeah, well, it wasn't warm, but I'm warmer than what was on the windshield, that's for sure. That is for sure.
Yeah. Well, I thought you were going to be spending the next 6 months in Rio prepping for World Youth Day.
Oh, gosh. No, not quite yet. I finally got my passport taken care of. So, fortunately,
looks like... Is that
hard? Well, not necessarily.
I haven't gotten a passport for a while.
It's just the cost and the processing and having to go... Yeah, I mean, for you, you usually have to mail it in if you qualify and whatnot. But it's another step, another piece on the checklist that you have to take care of. So,
how did you get a passport when the Holy Father came to New York City? Oh, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Mm.
And he spoke to the UN. And I was covering his speech at the UN, and you had to have a passport to get into the UN.
Wow.
I guess it's a foreign country or something.
I guess so.
It was very
interesting.
Was very odd. You know, you're in New York City and you go down to the UN and
you need a passport.
You need a passport to get, at least maybe to get where we got. I don't know. We were in a radio studio down in the basement, but I don't know if the average tourist needs a passport to get in, but.
I was, great question.
And it was a pain to get a passport.
Well, I know that.
And it was expensive.
It is. It is expensive. And that was one of the reasons why I was waiting up a little bit. But now it's taken care of. So now I get to go to the next step, which is the visa. So Brazil is requiring that you have a visa to go on World
now,
Youth
Day. Brazil issue the visa or the United States
You have to go to the Brazilian consulate, to what my understanding is. So it's a Brazilian visa.
Now, you will be going down there prior, though. Is that correct?
I will be there for about 10 days. Uh-huh. So I'm not going to be going to the days in the diocese, which starts about a week prior. But I'll be there for 10 days, which is the weekend before and the weekend after.
Okay.
Through the weekend when the Pope's going to be there.
All of the arrangements that have to be made just for the youth from the Diocese of Sacramento, they're going. I want to say kids. They're not exactly kids.
No, they should be young adults, preferably.
Young adults,
but
yes. Who makes all those arrangements?
Generally, they have a coordinator, so a person that takes on the lead for the group, and then they're the ones that are making sure that everybody's put in everything on their checklist to take care of that. There's offices that work specifically on Catholic pilgrimage type stuff, so they kind of help that coordinator, but usually there's a coordinator that takes on that role. So my respects to those that are out there that are doing that job, because it's definitely
And are the
a
coordinators
burden.
From Rome, or are they from the USCCB?
No, these are youth coordinators. Yes, within
okay.
our diocese. Yeah, yeah.
Wow, it seems like a lot to put together.
I know. So, and I'm just doing for myself and trying to put together that mass and the lunch for Bishop while he is there.
Bishop Soto is going.
Uh-huh. Yes, he is.
And how
going.
Big a group do we have going? Ultimately?
I'd say there's about 150 or so
going in different groups.
Not all one group. Yeah. Well, most of them are leaving. We do have scheduled a send-off mass for July 13th because most of them are leaving like on the 15th or so to be there for the days in the days in the diocese. So, but there's different coordinators. There's at least three that I know of for sure, and they're taking different size groups. So 50 is one. Like the max for one group, and then you have to register another piece of that. And they're still deciding. I mean, they haven't really even finalized all of the details as to the locations for the events in Rio. So it makes it difficult to do all of the planning when you're trying to do the other pieces when that hasn't happened yet. But one thing that they did announce, though, is that for those that are going for World Youth Day, the fees on the Brazilian visa are going to be waived. So that's a really nice thing. Yeah. So for those that haven't gone that far yet, it's a kind of a blessing that they're going to be able to take care of that as long as you're already registered for World Youth Day.
I read somewhere that, and I think it's just in terms of raw numbers, not percentage, that it's the most Catholic country in the world.
Possibly. Yeah. I haven't
And I think
gone
sometimes
into that yet.
The Holy Father picks which country based on he's trying to give a shot in the arm to the faith.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
Rejuvenation.
That's true.
So, well, very good.
So we'll see how that goes. That's still a few months away, but there's still a lot of activities happening between now and then. So
the sheet here from the Youth and Young Adult Ministry, and you told me my sheet's already outdated.
Yes. We got asked to add a little bit more information. So we've got locations, and we've got a little bit more on the websites that you would call to. We do have a more updated sheet available with all of the information all the way through Next on Fire, which is September 21st, the one at 6 Flag. So we have all the little details on there as far as we could put down on the calendar. So
you guys don't believe in that thing in the Bible that says don't worry about tomorrow, just worry about today?
Well, we
you
have,
guys
to,
have to
well,
worry
the thing
about
is
tomorrow.
That we have to plan as if there were a tomorrow.
Well, you say, well, that's not till tomorrow. We'll figure out how
right,
to get
we'll
there.
Figure it out then. No, we have to plan as if there is a tomorrow. So
yeah, it's good somebody is. So speaking of tomorrow, or Saturday,
almost
day
tomorrow.
You got all kinds of things happening this weekend.
Well, we've got the Fired Up Conference, which is the confirmation conference for.
Now, this is not for young adults. This is
no,
for
this
kids.
Is for confirmation
right.
candidates.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
the bulk of them
grade.
Will be seventh, eighth graders. Yes, and we've got, I believe, we're at the 1,000 mark for Saturday, and we're 1,000 plus for Sunday. So we're pretty full for both days, but we are still taking registration. So if there's a confirmation candidate that by chance chance their parish did not coordinate or they were not able to get it going for this, as long as they have a chaperone, they can still participate. They can still go online. It's at www.confirmationconference.com and sign up that way. We're just not guaranteeing a t-shirt size at this point because, I mean, it'd be kind of impossible to cater without having the pre-order like we've done for all of the people that have registered on time. So, but it's $25. They get lunch. There's jump houses. There's great speakers. There's mass with the bishop. And it's a repeat. So we have the same.
It's one day, but it's, you have 2 days to choose
from. Right, because there's no venue that will fit 2,000 plus kids at one time. So.
Are you likely to have more openings on Sunday now at this point?
We're only taking overflow on Sunday.
On Sunday, okay.
Yes. It was just a lot easier to handle that for those that are late registrants. We've been getting registrations yesterday and calls and questions yesterday. So I'm assuming we'll probably get a few more today. And we'll just do what we can. I mean, we don't want the kids to miss out on this. It's for a lot of them, it's their first opportunity to see the Universal Church and get out of that group, you know, their parish group. Because
I think it's so important to they come to, you know, whatever they're doing in their own parish for confirmation, it's going to be a relatively small group.
Right.
And here they come and wow.
All of these are Catholics
exactly.
And they're all going to be doing the same. Yeah, it's an experience that they can't miss out. And it's so dynamic. And they really do come out of that fired up, not just the kids, but the chaperones and the catechists that participate. So hopefully.
We had that. I remember my confirmation in the very little town of Davis at the time, and there were, I don't know, 12 of us or something.
Oh, that's very little. That's a small group.
We didn't have fired up or anything, and I think, I'm trying to remember the bishop. Bishop came over, probably Bishop Minogue, the first bishop of the diocese.
Oh, my gosh.
It's probably, well, maybe. I'm trying to remember. I remember all these bishop names, but I can't remember where in my lifetime that happened. They happened. And Father Degnan, I remember him. And but it was a big day, but it would have been real nice to have something like this in the big city of Sacramento.
Exactly. And I mean, this is not meant to substitute for a retreat. I mean, all of the confirmation candidates should still have a retreat experience.
Right.
There's just so much activity going on. It's really a conference.
Yeah.
And it's great. I mean, Bishop always connects the message from his homily to what he does during the sacrament. So it's just a way for them to have that connection. We do have breakout sessions. There's going to be a talk for the chaperones, both in English and in Spanish, on the talks. So it's a great opportunity, and you haven't missed it. So you still can participate if you're a confirmation candidate this year. You definitely want to try to sign up and just. Experience this. Confirmationconference.com.
Okay.
You just go on. There's a link there to be able to sign up. And we are also still in need of volunteers. So if there's young people out there that have already done their confirmation and are willing to participate, we have our orientation tomorrow. So they really need to sign up today in order to be able to do this. The easiest way to get to that one, though, is to go to iCatholicYouth.com, click on the Fired Up calendar item, and then there will be a link on there for volunteers. So it'll shoot you over to a form, and then you get to sign up, and it's really brief. We do have the orientation tomorrow for that, and then they'll be helping out on Saturday and Sunday. So, yeah, so if there's any young person out there that's willing and able and can help, we'll take you. So
very good.
And if you do want to just call and ask questions, if you don't have the opportunity to get online or whatnot, you can call me. It's 916-733-0151.
Very good. And also on the 12th, you've got
one more thing. Right. Yeah. We do have one more. It's going to be a busy 3 days. So we took the opportunity that we have Ansel Augustine, who's one of the speakers for Fired Up. We're going to have a
from New Orleans.
Yes, we're going to have a No Excuses Youth Ministers Retreat. So this is in the afternoon of the 12th. So no teens. Just youth ministers. It's going to be an evening of reflection and challenge with the speaker and Ariana Kababi, who will be doing some music for us. We've got the Newman Center set aside for the evening at Sac State. They just have a really nice kind of relaxing lounge area
thing. Nice. Yeah, whole facility's
exactly.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's really going to be a treat. You know, a retreat for the youth ministers. So hopefully, and if they're volunteer youth ministers. They don't have to be paid. I did get that question asked. They're volunteers. As long as they're working with youth, they're welcome to come to this.
Good.
So we had been asking for RSVP, but I mean, at this point, we have plenty of space. If you do want more information, you also want to go on iCatholicYouth.com for that one. We've already got about, it's about 20, but the space fits 80. So there's no...
And that's Saturday evening.
That's Saturday evening, yes. So that's and that one's no charge. So we're just wanting to give a treat to the youth ministers that do so much work for our young people.
Very good. And as we look on through the year, we've got so many things.
I've been working on Father's Day, and I've been Father's Day with Bishop Soto. That's happening
at the ballpark again?
Yes, on Father's Day. We've got that pretty much all the way lined up. Still don't know what the gifts and goodies are going to be, but that one's definitely happening. Got other formation programs that are happening. For those of you that are going to LA Recongress, we've got a hospitality dinner that we're also coordinating at La Casa Garcia, which is a restaurant in Orange, Anaheim. And there's a mural of Bishop Soto on the wall for that one.
That's what you told me.
Yeah, I did talk about that one, didn't I?
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so don't miss it. If you're already signed up, don't miss out on that one. I am requesting an RSVP, though.
Was
you have to let me know.
Was he a bishop at the time the mural was
painted? I believe so, yes. So what this restaurant does is that they bless Thanksgiving turkey. They do provide Thanksgiving turkeys during Thanksgiving. So Bishop was requested to go out. Yeah. He blessed the turkeys. They took a picture of that, and then it went up on the wall. So,
Wow. Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to see on the flyer, but it's pretty interesting. You can tell that it is him. So.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah, so and Bishop's really excited about this.
And that's in the city of Orange?
Yeah, it's in Anaheim. Yeah, Anaheim. In the convention center. Yeah, near the convention center.
Very good. And, of course, you have the soon-to-be world-famous altar server Olympics. I was telling somebody about this other day, and they're like, wow, what do they do? What are the events? And it's great.
The kids have a lot of fun, and it's really allowing the kids to look forward to growing older in altar serving, because we're trying to have the sixth graders in EPCO. The larger the group, the more excited they get, and they have some physical activities or some Jeopardy, and they're all really, it was really interesting to see when they were answering all of the Catholic questions, and you had these that are really sharp. It's like, wow, they really answered that quickly. They didn't even second guess themselves.
Yeah, I was on a talk show. It was a radio thing, and it was like Jeopardy, but it was a Catholic program out of New York, and it was mostly for fun, but it was like Jeopardy, and I was just on the phone at home, and the other contestants were too. They were various radio Catholic people from around the country, and wow, were they smarter than I was? I mean, it was just like name the something, you know?
Right, and it's just like it just rolls off like
it's
second nature.
And even if I knew the answer, I was way, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I was way behind.
Right,
push the buzzer.
Right,
first, you know?
Exactly. But yeah, they're pretty cool kids. So, as long as we're talking about all the events, I mean, might as well put a plug in for Unplugged 3.
Yeah.
That's the high school retreat that will be happening during Lent. March 9th is already the date that we've got slotted, and it's going to be at St. Clair's Parish. I don't remember if, I think we may already have the registration form up. So if people are wanting to do that, that's also at iCatholicYouth.com.
That's the 9th.
Yes. Here, I'll give you this.
Okay. Very, very good.
You now have a newer version.
A newer version.
Yes. For a little while, this thing was changing daily as I was making adjustments and we were securing locations and having all of the final details on these events. They take a lot of work, but once you've got this location and the speaker, then everything else kind of falls into place.
Yeah, and then, of course, the great On Fire event at Six Flags, which has become sort of a must-see, must-attend event.
Yes, for
sure. I
mean,
this thing, Six Flags, should be just doing cartwheels for the Diocese of Sacramento.
Oh, we're already pondering on how we can do a second day type thing.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see what ends up panning out with all of that. So sure if it'll be this year. It might be next year.
Yeah.
But we've already got some ideas going to see if we can do something on the second day.
Circle that date. It's Saturday, September the 21st.
Generally, it's the third Saturday of September what it's turning out to be, right?
Very
when
good.
We hit ball.
Yeah. Very good. Well, good to have you as always. And
thank you.
I know you're working hard.
Yes, there's a lot to do, especially with right now we go into the marathon when we have these events. It's like, Okay, we won't stop until Monday. I think I will probably end up crashing on Monday, but if we can make through Sunday evening, we'll be all right.
And Carla, of course, is a host of the Bishop's Hour in Spanish on our wildly popular Spanish-language radio station.
It's been a year. It has been a year already since the Bishop's Hour in Spanish started. So, yeah, that's still going well. It's once a week. We're keeping it at that because the radio station in Spanish has more local programming.
Right.
But the one that we're reworking and potentially expanding is the Spanglish show that we do with young adults in the evening. So once we have a little bit more info on that one. Oh, and you can listen online now. They have a link, yeah. So you go to RadioSantísimoSacramento.com, and there's a link on there for you to be able to listen live.
1280 a.m.?
1240.
1240 a.m. Mm-hmm. Very good.
So there you go.
Coffee breaks over, back to work.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
Thanks so much. That's Carla Marquez. And thanks for the new and updated version.
Little version, yes.
Version
I'll
here.
Keep you posted. Thank you, Bob.
Thanks much. God bless. Well, we got a nice communication from the Sacramento Life Center. From Marie Leatherby, the executive director out there, wishing us all a happy 2013 and letting us know about all the ways that we can help. Marie notes that the number one goal for 2013 is to get the second mobile medical clinic up and running and on the road. There's a great need in the community for these services. She suggests various ways that people can get involved. Embrace for Life through your school, church, business, or organization. Invite the Real Life program to speak at your school, church, or youth group about promoting life. You could join the volunteer night hotline team. You can coordinate the Mother's Day Rose sale for your parish or congregation. Coordinate the Baby Bottle Project, which is very, very popular for the school, church, or youth group or organization. Volunteer to be a male peer counselor, become a sponsor, a table host, an advertiser, an attendee, a volunteer, or donate an auction item for the very well-attended Salute for Life dinner and auction, which they've already got the date for this, November 9th of 2013. You could request the mobile medical clinic to show up at your next event or your health fair. And, of course, participate in their annual Walk for Life, which takes place on May 18th, 2013. And I've been a participant in that, and it's a great, great event, May 18th, 2013. Also, through United Way, you could designate Sacramento Life Center as your recipient. You can donate a car, boat, truck, or RV, on and on and on. A lot of things you can do. Just straight out donations, whether it's stock, securities, or planned giving. Give them a call, 916-451-4357, and circle these two dates. May 18th, the walk will again be at Maidu Park in Roseville, and then the Salute to Life dinner and auction at the Hyatt Regency, which will be November 9th of, it's this year now, November 9th of 2013. Again, the phone number at the Sacramento Life Center is 916-451-4357. And if you know anybody who's in need of their services, the hotline number is 916-451-2273 or online at saclife.org or svpregnancyclinic.com. Well, the great ecumenical celebration will be held at the cathedral on Wednesday, January 23rd at 7 p.m., sponsored by the Diocese Office of Ecumenical and Interreligious Affairs under Father Marco Kiernan, who we the pastor at Our Lady of the Assumption, and we talked to him yesterday a little bit about this. All taking place Wednesday the 23rd, 7 o'clock, during the week of Prayer for Christian Unity, which runs from January 18th to the 25th. This year's theme, which has been announced by the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity and the Commission on Faith and Order of the World Council of Churches, is based on Micah 6, 6 to 8. What does God require of us? This year, Bishop Soto is inviting Christians of all denominations to an evening of scripture readings with music by the Church of God in Christ Mass Choir. The Reverend Mel Robeck from Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena will be the preacher for the evening. He's an ordained Assemblies of God minister who has served at the seminary since 1974. He's a professor of church history and ecumenism for the last 21 years, and he's also served as the Pentecostal co-chair of the International Catholic Pentecostal Dialogue. For more information, you can call the cathedral, 916-444-3071, but circle the date Wednesday, January 23rd at 7 p.m. And as Father Kiernan pointed out yesterday, you know, Jesus said that he prayed that we would one day all be one. And what Jesus wants, Jesus is going to get. He's ultimately going to get it. The Bob Dolan is coming. Who's Bob Dolan? Well, he is the brother of Cardinal Timothy Dolan of the Archdiocese of New York. He's coming to the Sacramento Catholic Forum a week from tomorrow, Friday, January 18th. Check in 11:30 a.m. at the Red Lion at the Woodlake, 500 Leisure Lane, formerly the Radisson. Bob Dolan is just we had him on the program, on Monday? And just other than that he thought Notre Dame was going to beat Alabama, he seems to be a very intelligent guy. Very, very good humor, and he's going to talk about growing up with his brother Tim, his older brother Tim, and what it was like. And he said that his brother Tim he was always destined to be a priest. That just seemed to be what was going to happen in the Dolan family. He was the oldest of five. Tim was Cardinal Dolan, and he had the unique experience of being a well-known media personality in Milwaukee, Bob was, when all of a sudden his brother gets named as the Archbishop of Milwaukee. So it's a very interesting story. He's also going to talk about things from his book, Waking Patrick, to help confront our doubts and fears. Can an ordinary man really make a difference? How will we be viewed on Judgment Day? Does prayer really work? What happens if we cannot forgive our enemies? He will try to answer all of these questions. You can go to saccatholicforum.org to hear Bob Dolan, to sign up for Bob Dolan. And that is on Friday, a week from Friday, the 18th of January at the what is now known as the Red Lion. So it should be a great, great event. Now, the Pro-Life Pilgrimage and Mass with Bishop Soto will be January the 22nd. That's the actual date of the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, this Supreme Court decision in 1973. You're invited to come walk and pray for a culture of life in our state and nation with Bishop Soto. It's an ambitious pilgrimage, and hopefully you can get the time off work, or if you got kids to get to school, you can get them to school a little bit earlier, or maybe have somebody else take them, because it begins at 7:30 a.m., at Immaculate Conception Church. It's going to involve six churches plus a stop at the Sacramento Life Center. And if you can't make the initial, maybe you can find the group along the way. There will also be stops at Sacred Heart Church, the Sacramento Life Center, St. Francis of Assisi Church, Our Lady of Guadalupe Church, St. Elizabeth Catholic Church, and then it'll all conclude at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. It's a guess, but probably 2.5-3 hour walk. It's about 6 miles. 12:10 p.m. Mass at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament with Bishop Soto and other priests from the diocese, celebrating with Bishop Soto. Also, in the morning at the cathedral, middle and high school leaders from the Catholic schools are invited to attend a pro-life educational program the morning of January 22nd. For more information or to sign up, contact the Diocesan Catholic Schools Department at 916-733-0110. Also, in the evening of January 22nd, Catholic middle and high school youth ministers, and parents are invited to attend a pro-life educational program from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at St. Anthony Parish right here in Sacramento, 660 Florin Road. And for that one, contact the Department of Evangelization and Catechesis at 916-733-0133. And, of course, Bishop Soto always makes the walk for life in San Francisco. He's encouraging us all to attend that as well. Also on Tuesday the 22nd, as we're asked to observe a day of fasting, prayer, penance, and works of charity. And priests are asked to offer their January 22nd masses for an end to the scourge of abortion. And also on Sunday, January 20th, 2 days prior, priests and deacons are asked to pray and preach for an end to abortion and a renewed promotion of the gospel of life. And, of course, we have the Walk for Life the 26th in San Francisco, but also in Washington, D.C., the March for Life, which has been going on as long as Roe v. Wade, that's going to take place on Friday, the 25th. Well, a Witnessing to Hope, a workshop about giving hope to those at risk for abortion, will take place on Monday, February 4th, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. No cost to attend. Pre-registration is requested by February the 3rd. You can contact Steve. Workshop is going to be right here at the Diocesan Pastoral Center, 2110 Broadway. It will be simulcast to Holy Spirit in Fairfield, Divine Savior Parish in Chico, and Our Lady of Mercy Parish up in Redding. Wynette Sills will be there. Deborah Heinrichs, coordinator of the Pregnancy Hotline for the Sacramento Life Center, will be there. And Father Nabil Moanis, pastor of Our Lady of the Rosary Maronite Church, will be, and a former chaplain for Catholic Answers, will also be one of the speakers. A great opportunity to learn about praying in front of an abortion clinic, to how to do it, how to approach people, etc. Witnessing to Hope, a workshop about giving hope to those at risk for abortion. To sign up, contact Steve Patton here at the diocese. That's SPATTON at scd.org. SPatton at scd.org, PATTON. Or give Steve a call, 916-733-0133. 916-733-0133. And also the spirituality of pro-life work with Father Art Ware, who's the parochial vicar at St. Ignatius Loyola Parish here in Sacramento. A one-day retreat for anyone involved in pro-life work of any kind will take place Saturday, February 23, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Check in at 9:30 a.m. and then Holy Mass at 4 p.m. It will all take place at the Mercy Center in Auburn. Father Weir will lead us to a deeper appreciation for the roles of faith, hope, and love in the gospel of life. To register, you can register online at proliferetreat.com or, contact Steve Patton, spatton at scd.org or at 916-733-0133. Now, the Nunset Boulevard, the latest creation from Dan Goggin, who created Nunsense, which has been shown really all over the world, 8,000 productions around the world. It was the second longest running musical in off-Broadway history, eclipsed only by The Fantastics. It's been wildly successful, a lot of fun, and this is the latest. Nunset Boulevard, starring Cindy Williams, is going to take place this coming Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at three stages, which is the three stages at Folsom Lake College, a wonderful, wonderful theater there. It's located on the west side of Folsom Lake College campus, facing East Bidwell Street. Cindy Williams, of course, known for her role as Shirley Feeney on Laverne and Shirley. Monday is 7 p.m., Tuesday 7 p.m., Wednesday both 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. For tickets, you can go to threestages.net. That's spell out three, T-H-R-E-E, threestages.net. Or call the ticket office anytime, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday, and 2 hours before showtime at 916-608-6888. That's 916-608-6888. So it should be a lot of fun. You know, I've never seen Nunsense. I've talked to lots and lots of people who have seen Nunsense, and I've talked to Dan Goggin, who is a creator, and he's a faithful Catholic and a really interesting guy, but has really found his fame with the Nunsense productions. Our good friend Leonardo DeFilippo is going to bring Maximilian, the Saint of Auschwitz, to Sacramento. He has performed this all over the country to truly rave reviews. He's touched a lot of lives with this. The Saint of Auschwitz, Maximilian, who volunteered to die in the place of another prisoner at Auschwitz, and had a terrible death, but really gave inspiration to all those who were dying along with him, that they were going to meet God. This will be performed. It's a one-man play. Wednesday, January 23rd, 6 o'clock at Presentation. Thursday, January 24th at St. Patrick's up in Grass Valley. Friday, January 25th at Good Shepherd Church in Elk Grove. And Sunday, January 27th at St. Stephen's in Sacramento. And you can call those parishes, or you can go to the website, www.stmaxdrama.com, stmaxdrama.com. That's going to do it for us for this beautiful Thursday. God bless everyone. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.